Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, it's that time of year again. I wrote on my Facebook page this morning in a post on Facebook that time when Mormons will once again come knocking on your door. And the issue or the problem seems to be that many Christians seem to be confused about exactly what Mormons believe. I put this in a post out on sermonaudio.com this morning entitled Mormons and the Message of the Gospel. I wrote, Dave Swavely recently wrote a brief article for World Magazine entitled Strange Bedfellows. The article calls into question a couple of recent activities at Liberty University. One involved the apparent endorsement of well-known faith healer, quote-unquote, faith healer, Benny Hinn. And I wrote there that we will leave that issue for a future broadcast. But the other was the appearance of Glenn Beck, who was invited to give the convocation speech. Swavely writes, quote, school administrators stirred the waters again on April 25th with the appearance of Beck, a Mormon, who spoke of the, quote, atoning work of Christ, unquote, in his life, but he also laced his convocation appearance with Mormon theology, at one point declaring that, quote, nobody in the Grand Council, unquote, chose to come to earth from heaven in order to be an accountant or to make T-shirts for a living. Beck was also, that's unquote, Beck was also announced during that time a $50,000 donation from his charity, Mercury One, to Liberty University. And so I have no idea what that context is of why he's talking about being an accountant or a T-shirt. Let me just say that the second person of the Trinity did come here to be a carpenter during his life, so I don't know why he's disparaging some of those other vocations there. But anyways, in the statement here, there seems to be some confusion about exactly who Mormons are, that they would be allowed, that the prominent one would be allowed then to come and give a convocation speech at a Christian university. The issue is, of course, that although it's called the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon faith isn't Christian. It's not a Christian religion. You know, it's a cult, we would call it, in Christianity. And with that as a central truth in mind, pastor and author Mark Cares defines the key issues of Mormonism, and he discusses how to witness to Mormons in his book entitled, quote, Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. And Mark is my guest on the program today. I mentioned that he was a pastor. He's now a former pastor because he is full-time working as the president of Speaking the Truth in Love Ministries, which is located in Idaho. Mark, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin.
Mark, I wanted to ask you to come on to give our listening audience a little bit of a flavor of what you write about in your book, because you seem to write about it from a little bit different perspective and way of coming at the subject than I've heard in some of the other books and some of the other interviews that I have done on this subject. So why don't you start there about telling us a little bit about your book, Speaking the Truth in Love, and telling us, you know, how is your book different?
Well, thank you, Kevin. A lot of ways that people do witness or try to witness to Mormons is, what I would say is they debate Mormonism. They focus more on all the problems in Mormonism, and there are many, many problems in Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach, however, is more to witness Christ to them than to debate Mormonism with them. Of course, we have to put that against the background of Mormonism, but what we are really trying to do is to understand the Mormon language, the stresses that Mormonism places on people, and then addresses those stress points, especially with talking God's word to them and really hitting the central issues of sin, man's sin, and salvation through Christ. The tagline for our ministry is really sharing Christ's work with Mormons, because Mormonism puts so much emphasis on a person's work that we're saying, no, what we need to do is put the focus on Christ's work because he did it for us. So our method is really to give them the truth of God's word, to be showing them the positives of Christianity and how that we can be assured of our salvation and so forth because Christ did it. And doing that in an environment, not so much a confrontation, the environment of where we should try to put a loving face on Christianity, show them, yes, there are differences here, but we do love them because they are blood-bought souls of Christ, you know, by Christ.
Hmm. That last part there, we do love them because they are blood-bought souls of Christ?
Blood-bought souls that Christ bought with his blood, yes.
You're talking about Christians are, right? You're not saying that the Mormons are on the blood-bought souls. You're just talking about the value of their soul being made in the image of God. I just need you to clarify that.
Right,
point.
Right. And, you know, when God so loved the world that he sent his son to pay for, you know, to be the savior of the world.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because I wouldn't, I'm a Calvinist and Reformed theology, so I would just put it that, you know, the only ones that Christ's blood is actually, it's available for all, but it's only efficient for the actual ones that are truly saved, you know, the believers themselves. But I understand the context that you were putting in. Let me ask you what I thought of when I read your book, and I love that approach that you have in your book where we speak about the central issue, and the central issue being that, you know, they're trying to find perfectionism through their own works. I've said this very often on the radio program, that all the religions of the world can all be boiled down into just two categories. One is the religion of human achievement, man doing something to earn a relationship with God. And the other is the religion of divine accomplishment, and that is that Jesus paid it all. We're talking about his righteousness and his work, as you so appropriately pointed out. And therefore, we are resting in the person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness. So I love that approach that you take in the book about, hey, let's talk about, okay, you want to talk about how to get to heaven? Let's have that conversation. This is how the Bible tells us that we're to get to heaven, but this is how Mormonism is telling you to get to heaven. And that contrast drawing before them is what you're focusing on. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what we're focusing on. And what makes it so difficult when we're talking with Mormons, and like you talked about Glenn Beck coming to Liberty University, the biggest problem, and what I always say, there's a lot of sheep clothing, you know, around Mormonism. It's pretty thick, the sheep's wool, because they use the same terminology of the Christian church, but they give it different definitions. And just permit me just to say a quick story of how they look at salvation, Jesus as a Savior.
Sure, please do.
This is a parable that is taught by one of their apostles. They have apostles in their church. And this is a classic parable. And they call God Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father was a creditor. We were the debtors, the debt of sin. And we took this debt out from Heavenly Father. And over a period of time, we realized we couldn't pay back the debt. So we go to him and asking him for mercy. And Heavenly Father says, well, I want to be merciful, but I also have to be just. And I just can't forgive your sins. And so Jesus steps in. He's called the benefactor in this parable. And Jesus, the benefactor, is now talking to Heavenly Father and says, if I pay their entire debt, will you free them from their obligation? And Jesus paid the entire debt. But now he, in this parable, Jesus turns to us and says, now I'm your creditor. You have to pay me back. It won't be easy. I made it possible. And it's not said in the parable, but the way Jesus made it possible was conquering physical death. So in a sense, he gave him many more years to pay off the debt. I asked one man once years ago, how long would it take him to pay off that debt, or, you know, to reach his ultimate conclusion? He told me 10,000 eternities.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And just try to think of, you know, now I'm just saying, if you're a sincere Mormon and you're trying to put yourself in their shoes, just think of the burden, the stress, you know, all those negative emotions that you're just weighed down with as you look at eternity of basically paying off the debt.
Right away, of course, that even if we talk about a shorter period of time, you know, via indulgences and a different in another
right.
religion that would speak of those things, again, the same idea, though, is that it's a works righteousness. And whatever the period of time is that's there, it flies in the face of the gospel message, which says this in Titus, not by the works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's their whole system, you're saying in the book, is really based upon earning their own righteousness before God. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And again, what makes it so difficult, even like when Glenn Beck could talk about the atoning sacrifice, mm-hmm. you know, they will talk about that, and even many Mormons are confused, but you know, I have never met a member of the LDS Church that thinks that eternal life is God's gift to them. One of a good question, a lot of times Christians say, you know, how can I focus the discussion because the terminology is different. So many Christians are frustrated when they're talking to a Mormon. They say, I believe that Jesus saved me, and the LDS Church, a member will respond by saying, yes, I believe that too, and they get so frustrated. A better way sometimes is to ask the question, do you believe eternal life is a gift or a reward?
Mm.
Because in Mormonism, eternal life is a reward, and you know, as you know, Romans, as Paul says, Romans, you know, eternal life is God's gift through us through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so it really is a work-based religion. I like to call it more grace plus, even though that's, you know, as Paul also said in Romans, if it's no longer by grace, then it's, you know, it's
yeah.
no longer grace. Romans 11 there. But I like to say it's grace plus because Mormonism does talk about grace. The most quoted passage from the Book of Mormon is 2 Nephi, where it says, by grace you are saved after all you can do.
Hmm. Wow. There it is, right on the front there, you know, where I like the way you put it. You know, it's a grace plus, and of course, grace plus anything equals works. And
exactly,
it equals damnation. You know, it equals, you can't not be saved. We're saved, as that text rightfully says, we're saved by grace and through faith in our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with author Mark Kerrs, and he's the president of what's called Truth and Love Ministry. And you can go out to their website. Oh, I think I had it up here before. Let's see. Do I have it up? I don't have it up here, Mark, so you have to give it to us in just a second. But Mark Kerrs, and we're talking with him about his book called Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. And the book just has two sections to it. The opening section says, No Mormons, in the first section, and there's six chapters there. And it talks about their goals and their plan chronologically, theologically, and so forth, their authority, their culture, their attractions, and their stresses, those types of things. So he gives you six chapters there to know Mormons, first and foremost. And then secondly, he talks about how to reach Mormons. And he talks about then reaching them with the hard-hitting law, with the sweet gospel, with love, with some attention to their arguments, reach the Mormon missionaries that come to your door and so forth, and reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So throughout his book there, then you get another, I think there's another six or seven chapters there that deal with that. At the end of the book, too, there is a dictionary of Mormonese. You know, we've been talking about the importance of definition of terms and the way that they will use the same word, but they mean something completely different by it. Well, here's some help for you. At the back of the book, there's a complete dictionary there of some of the Mormonese, some of the terms that they use, and what they mean by those terms. So, Mark, what is the website that people can go out to find out more about your ministry and about how they can get a copy of this book?
Yeah, it's real simple. It's TILM for Truth and Love Ministry. So TILM.org.
Mm.
film.org. And on there, you know, we have many articles of how to reach Mormons. You know, we also, what people find interesting, we have, you know, various links, but we have a couple other websites that are aimed to speak directly to Mormons as witnessing websites. And a lot of Christians like to go there to see examples of how we do that, you know. So they can find those links there, too. So tilm.org is a place to go for more information.
You know, give us a little bit of just how big is the Mormon church, and how big is the are there many, many people getting involved in Mormonism? Is it one of the fastest-growing religions upon the face of the earth?
Yes, it is right now. They just surpassed 15 million worldwide. And they add, through converts and through biological growth, about, you know, 400,000 to 500,000 people a year. Now, there are people leaving Mormonism, and a lot of people said, well, there's a lot of people maybe on their books that are not active, but I always kind of respond, I think that's the case with many church bodies when they report their membership figures. So, so they are growing quite rapidly. I think the thing that, is a good mission field that we're trying to reach out to is they have over 80,000 missionaries out on the street, and these are mainly young people who have devoted and given 2 years of their life to do this. But I also think that they do not, you know, LDS missionaries only get 2 weeks of training before they go out. And they're young people, and so we have found great success in lovingly witnessing to them, and presenting the gospel to them. And I see them as a wonderful mission field for us to reach out and talk to them. I don't know about your area, but I'm assuming that it's not uncommon to see some LDS missionaries out on the street.
Oh, not at all. It'll be a very common occurrence. They will come by the house multiple times throughout the summer. I think myself, probably pretty similar to many of the people in the listening audience, have tried a number of different ways to deal with them, sometimes in not going to the door at all, sometimes in going to the door and then, frankly, being kind of rude, sometimes going to the door and getting in a discussion with them, only to find that it goes in circles back and forth. The current methodology that I like to use, and you could tell me what you think about this, but when they come to the door, they give an endorsement of the scriptures themselves, and they say that they believe the scriptures, the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, and then of course they add to it the extra writings that they have, Pearl of Great Price and so forth. And so I said, I say to them, well, the Bible tells me that I have everything, that God has given me everything pertaining to life and godliness. So the Word of God tells me that in the Scriptures. Do you believe that? And they say yes. And then I say, and it tells me at the end, in the book of Revelation, that if anyone adds or takes away from the words of this prophecy, it will be added unto them the plagues that are written therein. So I say, if I've already got everything pertaining to life and godliness in the Bible, and you just admitted to me and agree with me that I do, I know that you give a different interpretation of that warning at the end of Revelation, but why would I possibly take a chance if I've already got everything that is necessary for life and godliness? Why would I possibly take a chance on accepting your new revelation that you say you have, especially when that revelation conflicts with the things that are said here in the Bible? So I use that, and that's the one method that I use. And the second thing is, I actually go to the other houses in my neighborhood with them. So when they leave my house, there's a elderly couple that lives next door, and so I know the couple, I know my neighbors, and so I go to the neighbor's house with them. And when they knock on the door, I say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, this is a group of Mormon missionaries, and this is what they believe, and it's juxtaposed to what the Bible tells us, and I know that you know the Bible, and I just wanted to let you know this is what these folks, and, you know, we do that for two or three houses, and then they leave. So that's been my experience. How would you counsel me?
What we try to do, and again, It's a little bit different. We try to build a relationship because what you're doing is good. You're standing up and testifying to the truth, but we also want to have opportunities to really more in depth share the truth of, you know, the seriousness of their sin and then the beauty of the gospel with them. So what we try to do is let them talk a little bit more, you know, have them in, and then we know what they're going to say, so we try to tell people to react to what they say and build that relationship, so over a period of a number of visits, you can repeatedly share the gospel with them. And so what we try to do is have them actually have a number of visits with them, and then in that period of time, we can repeatedly talk about sin and salvation as we get into that conversation. You know, shortly after we hang up here, I will be Skyping with a young lady in South Africa who is doing this with LDS missionaries, and this has been working beautifully for us, where the missionaries repeatedly hear the truth of God's word.
Mm.
We're just trying to stretch it out more and to say, here's an opportunity for us to really in-depth share God's word with them.
So you get right to the gospel message. You talk about the law and how before the law that we're all undone and we're all condemned. We can't keep the law perfectly. And then you make a beeline for the one who does keep the law perfectly, i.e. the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it is Christ that we need in order to have a relationship with God and so forth. That central message of the gospel is where you make a beeline.
You better believe it. And one of the passages we love, again, because of the difference in definitions and everything, is Hebrews 10, verse 14. Again, because of their emphasis on becoming perfect, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
You know, what we try to do, we say we're building pillars of sin and salvation, and it's like building a bridge, and we just want to lay a series of pillars. And so in many different ways, we want to talk to them about their sin and their salvation in Christ. And we can do that in repeated visits. We just say that God's word is powerful. The Holy Spirit can work through that word. You know, that gospel is so powerful, and we pray that the seeds we are planting, God will bring forth.
Amen. You know, it seems that the message really there then centers around the idea of perfect. You know, how do we have a perfect righteousness before God? And that message is good for Mormonism, but it's good for all the people of the earth. You know, as I mentioned, all the other religions are trying to find an acceptable righteousness before God in their own good works as well. And so I like that approach, because I think that in learning about the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is given to us by faith, that it will not only help you in reaching out to Mormons, but also then it'll help you with some professing Christians, as Galatians point out, where people slip back into a performance-based relationship with God, and they see their relationship with God based upon their own good works. And so it will have some fruit there in their life as well. Mark, give us the website again for Truth and Love Ministries and where we can go in order to find out how folks can get a copy of your book.
Right. Thank you, Kevin. It's TILM, again, Truth and Love Ministry, so TILM.org, TILM.org, and it's a pretty extensive website, and you can find a lot of helps there. You can also find some resources there. We have a lot of free resources, too, you know, downloadable ebooks and so forth. So encourage your friends and, you know, your listeners to come and visit our website.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. Thank you so much for writing this book. I want to let folks know as well that Mark is available to be able to come and to put on a brief training session there at your church. You can find out information about that out on the website that he mentioned, and you'll be able to find out how you can get a copy of this book. The book is called Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, and again, the author is Mark Cares. He's the president of that organization in Idaho, and so you can find out more on that website that Mark gave us. Mark, thanks once again for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Alrighty. Again, that was Mark Cares, and you can find out information on the website that he gave us. You know, on both sides of the of the discussion today on the radio program, there's one thing that comes out over and over again, and that is speaking the truth. There used to be an old saying that people would point to. I think it was attributed to Francis of Assisi. I'm not sure. But it said that, speak the word or preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. We need to use the words. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.